mark April 26th on your calendars for something truly special. Join Compass Center for Families at the historic Sheridan Inn for the annual Light of Hope Breakfast, a gathering of hearts and hands dedicated to making a difference in Sheridan County. This year, they are recognizing the Sheridan County YMCA as their champion for children. And the best part, it's absolutely free. RSVP by April 19th by calling Compass Center for Families or emailing Andrea at compass4families.org.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Dining for a Cause at PO News today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the final day.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
This is Kim Love. I have the good news many of you have been waiting for. Frackleton's will be reopening as soon as possible. The biggest thing slowing down our reopening will be our ability to staff the restaurant. So if you are interested in working for Frackleton's or know of anyone who would be interested, please stop by the Country Bounty offices at 303 South Main or email your resume to kimlove@sheridanmedia.com. Look forward to having Frackleton's back better than ever.
If there was ever a time to enjoy the beautiful sunsets and nighttime stars of country living, it's now. And if ever there was a lender to help you get closer to what matters, it's Rural First. Our rural home financing and construction experience can put you on the front porch of your dreams. Visit ruralfirst.com. NMLS IDs 407249, 579135, and 628123. Equal housing lender, loan subject to eligibility and approval.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. It is cold and it is slick out there, folks. So if you've got to head out of town, make sure that you're giving yourself a lot of time to do so. It was about 55 miles an hour, posted speed limit on the way here this morning. Everything that melted off yesterday froze last night, and it has not melted today. So make sure that you're taking your time. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Commissioners Lonnie Wright and Tom Ringley. And we've got a special guest, Sheridan County Assessor Paul Fall. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, Mr. Fall, we're going to dive right into it. Legislators recently put some changes to the Wyoming tax laws on the books. But before we get into that, I was wondering if we could go ahead and look at the impetus that got us here. You know, this was a very tough time for a lot of property owners out there. What factors played a part in such a massive jump in property taxes?
Well, Floyd, I'm not sure what, since the pandemic is thing when things kind of started. It seemed to be, I don't know what happened. People, everything was shut down, and people decided Wyoming and Sheridan or the mountainous counties in Wyoming were the place to go.
Whenever you talk about anything, you know, like affecting a mass populace, what's the one thing you always hear? I'm going to go to the mountains.
Yep.
You and everyone else, you know?
Exactly.
And that's, it's kind of what we've been seeing since 2020 or so, essentially. And so, in a sense, our property values have just really, really increased in that time frame, because you want to come in and sell, you want to sell your house, you're going to get as much money for it as you can, you know, and the people are willing to pay more than you're asking. You know, I call 2020, 2021, those areas kind of a feeding frenzy of the real estate market. You know,
yeah.
People are listing their house for 400. They get five offers at 450,000 and just ballooned for probably a 2-year period there. You know, thank goodness things are calmed down.
At least
leveled off. Yeah. We've leveled off. I've seen, you know, 2023 seems like the values are leveled off somewhat. But people are still moving here. Things are, you know, all the contractors are building and selling all the houses that are you know, everything seems to be moving still. Values have not come down, but at least we're leveling off, which is a good thing.
They're not still skyrocketing. I mean, out off the chart.
Correct. We, you know, we saw 3 years in a row there, they'd go up, values go up 28%, 26%. You know, so 3 year period, people are seeing 70% increase in their property value. I just, you know, happened to bring a little example here. So in 2019, our average sale price in the county is $303,000. 2023, we're looking at $483,000.
Wow.
So that's a pretty big increase in a fairly short period of time.
And who can blame them? If you've got a piece of property, you want to sell it, you want to get as much out of it as you possibly can. And if you've got multiple buyers willing to pay you a skyrocket type price, you're going to go for the highest.
Sure. It's, you know, a lot of people, I talked to lots of people, you know, during a protest period or whatever, and they all like want to blame the realtors. And it's like, blame the realtors. They're working for you.
Yeah.
You're not going to sell your house is worth 400. You're not going to say, oh, I'm going to only take it 300 because I don't want to raise the market. Nah, if you find me that person, I want to meet them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, what were the initial moves that were taken by legislature once the bills started to hit the mailboxes?
Well, last year is probably the first year that, you know, things really spiraled in the legislature. They had, I don't know, 21 bills to do with property taxes and realistically didn't pass a one.
Mm-hmm.
So this year comes around and they had a handful, I don't know how many they had, five or six good, pretty solid bills. They ended up passing, I believe, three of them. Governor vetoed the one that would have done a 25% reduction across the board. So they really went to bat for the taxpayers in the state of Wyoming a little bit, I think. I think they could have done a few things a little different, but that's here and there. You know, so we could talk about the bills.
We'll get to those.
Okay.
First, I want to look at the popularity of the tax relief program the first year that it came on. Commissioners, I can remember sitting here with you multiple times trying to get people to apply for this thing. Mm-hmm. We were really pushing it there for quite a period of time. We knew that relief needed to come along, but people had to take action on their own. So I think the question would be, did a lot of folks apply once this property tax relief program kind of kicked into gear? Did your office see a lot of people come in and apply for that?
Truthfully, Floyd, on that is really handled through the treasurer's office.
Treasurer's office,
is who handles that, but we do have the applications and help people in my office and try to get the word out to everybody. So I do have from the Department of Revenue, tax year 2019, Sheridan County had 167 property tax refund applications approved, $90,000 refunded. Tax year 2021, there was only 181 applications in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
2021, that jumped up to 425 applications.
Wow.
And 269 of those were approved, and total refund was $170,000. And then tax year 22, there was 943 applicants, 862 approved, and that amounted to $850,000 for Sheridan County.
That's incredible.
And so, talking with the legislature on that, they did increase the income limits to 145% of median income in the state, which for this year for Sheridan County is $107,184. So now, it's a pretty good increase, and it should help a lot more people.
Your office helps people fill out those applications. How difficult is that application process? If someone was saying, oh, is it worth me coming in and sitting down and getting this done?
Actually, I brought an application up, so it's about two pages. So it's pretty easy to fill out. You just have to have a copy of your paid, so for they're doing 2023 currently, so you just have to have a copy of your paid 2023 taxes on your property, some income information that they verify. You send it in to the Department of Revenue, or the county treasurer will send them in for you, And then if you qualify, you get a check right from the Department of Revenue sent back to you directly.
And so this is definitely worth your time. I imagine some of these amounts that are coming to these folks, I do realize it's going to be different for everybody. But getting a lot of that money back, even if it's $1,000, is worth, in what, 25 minutes of your time?
Exactly. You know, and I talked to a lot of people that aren't sure if they qualify or not. And it's like, just fill out the paperwork, send it in, let the department determine that if, you know, if you're on the edge of thinking you might or might not qualify. And they'll take a look at it. And I know they'll, you know, if the application hasn't been filled out fully or they have questions, they'll call the applicant.
And how were residents responding in this time period? What did you hear from them? Commissioner Wright, I'll start with you. What were people saying to you as far as the property taxes and, hey, what the heck can we do? What do you remember?
I remember a lot of unhappy people.
Yeah.
Obviously. And a lot of people were... you know, they had their pitchforks and their mowing size ready to go to the assessor's office over it because Paul Falls, the assessor, and he's the one that to blame, obviously, right? So not really. Paul does not have anything to do with how the taxes are figured out. He just does what the law requires. So,
yeah.
But yeah, a lot of unhappy people. And wanting something to be done. And I really had a couple of heartbreaking stories of older citizens who were really trying to figure out how to pay their property taxes.
Yeah.
Because they're on, you know, probably Social Security, maybe a small pension of some sort, but they just weren't making ends meet. And it really gets you right where it counts. So
some bills you can lay off to the side and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Tax bills you can't.
Tax man cometh.
That's right. The tax man cometh. Commissioner Ringley, what were you hearing from your constituents?
Some of the same kind of things as Lonnie, same kind of stories. But people simply cannot understand how in the world could my property taxes go up like, I don't know, 27%. Or whatever it happened to be, just don't understand how that can happen, you know, all at once. It just doesn't make sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk about the, you know, the state CAMAS assessment system and everything all you want. People don't understand. This is just un-American. My taxes can go up by 27% in a year. So that's hard to explain.
Yeah, yeah. But it all comes down to what Mr. Fall was talking about earlier. People were selling high.
Mm-hmm.
And who's not going to sell high when mm-hmm. they've got a piece of property to sell?
Yeah.
Mr. Fall, your office, did you batten down the hatches and we put up the barricades?
We absolutely had to, Floyd. It was, last few years have been very busy, I'll say. It's, you know, and I got great staff, thank God. And, you know, most people, like the commissioner said, you know, nobody wants to go up 27% a year, you know.
Oh, no, but yeah.
Most people came in, we'll sit down with them. You know, we can show them all the sales information during our 30-day protest period and explain how, you know, how we have to do our job, basically. And, you know, as long as they understand how we're doing it, you know, they're at least have the knowledge of why we're doing it and how we get to their value.
Yeah.
You know, you're still not going to be any more thrilled by your 27% increase, you know. Just it's crazy because we had from realistically 2010 to 2020 when this started, we'd only go up 3%, 4% a year. So it wasn't any
gradual.
Wasn't any big deal. And people can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, the 3 years in a row that we just went through the roof is the hard part for people to understand. And, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, we're still, you know, I don't want to downplay our taxes, but Wyoming is still relatively inexpensive as far as property taxes go, but most people don't want to hear that, and I don't blame them because my taxes have gone up 70% in 3 years. What's the problem?
Yeah,
you know, I don't care how low they are. I don't tell me that story anymore, and so we don't even, you know, let people try to tell people that. It's like, yeah, they're still cheap compared to the rest of the country, but mm-hmm. they don't care. I've lived here my whole life. why is this happening?
Yeah, now I'm paying 70% more. Whether it's the rest of the country's higher or not, I moved here or I was born here.
Yeah. And that's the big problem is the one that everybody's been here for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Commission and the Sheridan County Assessor right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Dining for a Cause at PO News today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the final day.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Are you happy with your employment situation? Or are you thinking it's time to spring forward into a better job than the one you currently have? Plan now to attend the Career Network Fair, Wednesday, April 24th from 11 to 4 in the Sheridan College Golden Dome. Employers will be able to discuss various opportunities available and to answer any questions you have. This career fair is sponsored by Sheridan College, the Sheridan VA, and Wyoming Workforce Services.
Mossholders wants you to begin sleeping better this spring. So right now, every mattress is on sale, and one lucky customer will win a brand new Serta or Simmons Beautyrest mattress. Every customer that comes into Mossholders can enter for a chance to win the mattress of their choice. But even if you're not the lucky customer, you can still find your favorite mattress and save on every purchase. Not only that, but you'll get even bigger savings on all sheets, mattress protectors, pillows, and adjustable foundations. That's Mossholders Mattress Giveaway going on now. Mossholders, furniture's our passion.
Admired and sought after for both its fresh interpretations of classical music and works from 20th and 21st century composers, the award-winning Borromeo String Quartet will take the Wyo Theater stage this evening at 7. The Borromeo String Quartet, tonight at 7 at Sheridan's Wyo Theater. Get your tickets today at the Wyo Theater box office or online at wyotheater.com.
Have you been into Connect Home Center and seen their store remodel? You'll be inspired with all their new displays. And Connect is now an authorized Marvin window dealer. As part of their remodel celebration, you can enter the Connect Home Center Spring Sweepstakes for a chance to win a $300 Connect gift card. Enter for a chance to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com now through April 26th. And swing by Connect Home Center at 1836 South Sheridan Avenue in Sheridan for all your spring projects.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I'm speaking with Sheridan County Commissioners Lonnie Wright and Tom Ringley and our special guest, Sheridan County Assessor Paul Fall. In the opening segment of the show, we discussed how and why the property tax increase took place in the Cowboy State, as well as the initial steps that were taken to ease this burden on our residents. Mr. Fall, Wyoming lawmakers are attempting to change the Wyoming Constitution. The ultimate choice will come down to the voters in November this year. And we will be taking that right to the ballot this year, right? I'm not wrong.
That's correct. Be on the 2024 ballot.
What exactly is the change that's being proposed and why?
They're trying to make residential a standalone class of property. Currently have ag, commercial, personal property. They're considered all other properties. So they're trying to take the residential out of that. So then they can look at residential and do some property caps for the long term, I believe, is their ultimate goal if this passes. I think it'll be beneficial if it does pass, and then they can, you know, really highlight just the residential. Unfortunately, you know, a colleague of mine tried to get them to, you know, if you're going to pull out residential, you might as well pull out commercial, make them all their own class of property. We couldn't get that through, you know, so, you know, I don't know if this passes and 3 years from down the road, commercial is going to be going, hey, what about us? You can't, mm-hmm. you know, so I thought they should have just dissected them all, with one bill, but that didn't happen. So we'll see what happens with the residential end of things.
Now, the reason why you think those other zonings, tax brackets should be pulled apart is so that we can deal with them and their laws specifically, correct?
Right.
Because as of right now, if we were to change tax law in any of these brackets, there's only three to choose from. And if I change residential, I'm changing a bunch of other categories in that.
Right. If you wanted to, for instance, our assessment rate is 9.5%. So you're taxed on 9.5% of your fair market value. That's on commercial, residential, ag, of course. Your house is taxed at 9.5%. Now your land is based on the production value of it. But if they take residential out, then they can look, come back and go, okay, do we want to lower the assessment rate on residential from 9.5% to 8.5%, which 1% would save, you know, about 19% off your taxes the first year, which is a good idea, possibly. You know, values, like I say, we leveled off, but we get another boom coming through. Lowering the assessment rate is really a Band-Aid for 1 or 2 years is all.
Yeah.
Because if the values continue going up, it doesn't matter what the assessment rate is. You know, I don't know if they could look at putting a cap on, which they kind of did this year, or, you know, what their long-term plan is down there. I don't know what their thinking is.
Is there dangers to putting a cap on any tax bracket?
Could be. I think could possibly be, you know, because, of course, we were supposed to be at fair market value. So over time, this guy, and currently the way it's working, if you bought a house in 2023, you don't get the 4% exemption. So over time, the guy that has bought a house this year, his value could be up 12% higher than the guy next door.
Mm-hmm.
So the inequities, the fair market, that could cause problems with the Constitution, kind of, how we're, you know, because everybody's supposed to be at fair market value currently. I think they could write the rules with the residential if they pull it out, you know, and change that to say, okay, fair market value really doesn't have to be with everybody else.
So we get this, let's say we get this passed, Constitution changes, we pull that new bracket out, it's simply residential. Now we've got to go back to the flagpole. Now we got to start talking how we're going to change it. And I heard a great quote the other day that can be applied to a lot of things in our life. Everyone wants to save the world. No one can agree on how. So we've got a whole nother process, even after we, the residents, vote this through, should we do so.
That's correct. Then the legislature will have to determine, okay, what do we want to do with just residential properties? You know, and whatever they want to come up with is, you know, I think they'll get plenty of input from constituents and, you know, everybody else too on what is the best long-term solution. You know, mm-hmm. if things level off like they did back in 2010 to 2020, well, nobody gets too excited.
Yeah.
But if we see another boom where things are going to go up 20%, 25%, you know, they need to have some type of control on that so folks don't get nailed so bad.
Yeah. Now, I think we've gone over how that will change how taxes are handled in the state. In the meantime, there were some bills that did pass this year. I said we'd get to those. How many did pass?
Well, we got about four that changed the way we do things.
What are those and how will they affect our taxes?
Well, let's start with House Bill 45. Which is Enrolled Act 54, and that is the 4% cap on your residence. So if your house was valued in 2023, say $100,000, and in 2024 I'm saying it's worth $110,000, it can only go up to $104,000.
Okay.
And it's just the house. So if you have three houses. And
not the land.
Not the land. The land is going to be included next year. So I'm not sure why they
I don't know what their thinking was on that
this year. They should have just added land in. It would have been a lot easier, but they didn't. So this year it's just your residence. Now there's a lot of caveats. If you purchased a house in 2023, you don't qualify. If you built a house in 2023, you don't qualify. If you had put an addition on your house in 2023, you don't qualify. So there's a lot of non-qualifying factors that my office had to go through and technically take the exemption off.
Yeah. My goodness. And there's a lot of people who put additions on or built a home this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so that, you know, so that's going to kind of start the inequities in a sense. Because you bought a house this year for $400,000 and the guy next door, his house would have been $400,000, but he's going to be stuck at $350,000 rough. You know, these are just rough numbers. So now fair market, well, where is the fair market? It's, you know.
And how is that going to affect once everyone starts trying to sell a home?
As far as selling is not going to matter.
That's not going to matter.
No, because the value is value. What it's worth is what it's worth, not what I have on it. Mm-hmm. So that won't affect that, but it will affect your tax dollars if you're the guy not selling. You know, you can only go up 4%. So, which is, you know, it's a good start, I think. They put a good Band-Aid on it for a couple of years just so people can catch their breath. You know, unfortunately, we're about 3 years too late. I think if they, you know, and we talked about them maybe going back to 2019 or 2020, but.
And retroactively. Oh, really?
But the logistics and just the way we weren't sure if we could handle that with our computer-assisted mass appraisal system itself could do that or not. So
my goodness, that would be an incredible amount.
Yeah, it'd have been a big task. And, you know, since they passed this and the governor didn't sign it till March, I mean, I got to send assessments out. Monday's the statutory deadline, and they're going out the door Monday. So we had a short window to go in and put the exemption on everybody that qualifies and take it off on the ones that don't. So it's been kind of fast and furious the last 2 weeks for sure, 3 weeks, you know.
Not a lot of breaks around the water cooler up there right now, huh?
No, none.
That's incredible. What other bill passed?
So that's the one that is effective this year. Then, of course, the property tax refund. They upped the limits on that. Used to be 125% of the median income in the state. They added, kicked it up to 145%. And originally they had it going up, clear up to 165% of the median income, but the governor line item vetoed the 165%. So people will get, if you qualify up to 145% of the median income, which I said was the 107,000 for the state, Sheridan County was under that, so we get to use the state median income. And the good thing with that is, as far as commissioners would be concerned, that's backfilled by the state. So any money we lose or refund, I'm sorry, let me back up again. That one, they sent a check directly to the homeowner. They don't backfill any of that. I got a couple other ones that they backfill. Now, the 4%, that is not backfilled. So the county loses that value or just doesn't doesn't collect it this year.
Okay.
In 2024.
So it'll hit county coffers a little bit more than the other.
Correct. And so the property tax refund, they've been funding that for a number of years. I think 2021, I think they didn't fund it, but they've been putting it in for the two-year biennium. I think they kicked in $20 million to cover 23 and 24. So, and the good thing with that, you know, well, the hard thing with that, you know, the people have to be current on their taxes. So if, you know, they're having problem paying them, you know, it's a struggle to get them paid so you can get a refund.
Yeah.
But it seems to be working pretty good.
Okay. So the majority of the people will be able to benefit from this.
Correct. Correct. And then the other, let's see, property tax fund. Okay. Then we have let's start with the veterans. We'll do the veterans exemptions. Have been around forever. If you're a qualifying veteran.
I've taken advantage of that every time registered the car.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that starting next year, it used to be a $3,000 assessed value, which in Sheridan County and the city would save you about $214.50 off your property taxes, $90 off your car. So starting next year, they've doubled that. It's going to be a $6,000 exemption. So it'll be, if you live in the city, it'll be $229 off your taxes, and you can use it up to $180 off your vehicle.
Oh, fantastic.
So that was good of them. And that, they reimburse the counties. The state reimburses the counties for that.
So the county's not losing out on that.
No, and those are the best bills or the best way to do things if they're backfilling the counties, because, you know, people think Sheridan County's one of these rich counties. We're really not. We're on the bottom, lower end of the totem pole as far as assessed values go. We don't have any minerals. There are very few. And our assessed values last year were $717 million, so county gets $717,000 per mill. You know, you want to compare that to Campbell County, their assessed value is about $5 billion, so they get $5 million per one mill. So the disparity is ginormous.
Wow.
So, you know, people are really not rolling in the dough in Sheridan County, you know, surviving. These guys do a great job, you know, budgeting and stuff. But
I can only imagine what Sweetwater looks like.
Though. Yeah, they're similar. Gillette's always number one. Or
is
have
it
been
really?
For a while.
Wow.
Yeah, Sweetwater's around 4.5, 5. Gillette might be pushing $6 billion. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Jeez.
So it's, you know, so the money they have to spend, you know, hence why they got nice rec centers and whatever else you want to go down there. It's, you know, I always like people to understand, you know, Sheridan is not filthy rich by any means.
Right. We just do a very good job controlling those funds and putting them where they need to go.
Right.
Or at least have so far.
Right.
Now, is there one more bill that passed?
Yes. The one is House Bill 3, which is enrolled Act 44, and this is the long-term homeowners. So if you've been paying property taxes in Wyoming for 25 years, and it doesn't have to be 25 years in a row, just 25, you could have lived in Natrona County, Campbell County for 5 years here, 10 years there. As long as your total is 25 years and you're over 65, next year you're going to get 50% off of your taxes.
Wow.
And now keep in mind, this is only a 2-year deal, 2025 and 2026.
Okay.
So I don't know what their thinking on that one was, because I hate to be the one that says, hey, you've got 50% 2 years in a row, now you're back to fair market value. So I'm assuming they're going to come up with something better. I hope they do.
So can I ask a question of Paul? Paul, if, let's say, actually, I'm going to be able to file for this in January, and I will. Let's say 2 years goes by, and they don't renew it, and my taxes suddenly go up, but does a 4% cap kick in?
Well, quite frankly, next year you can qualify for everything.
Right.
You can do the veterans.
Right.
You can do the 50% off.
Right.
If you qualify for the property tax relief, you can get it.
Right.
So there's no, so you can almost get all your taxes back in a sense. Right. You know, they're not going to pay you money, but.
But I'm just talking about the shock in 2 years.
Yeah.
When that goes away, but does the 4% still apply?
See that? Yeah, at that point, no, because the 4% is on the increase of your house value, not the decrease of the 50% off on the value. So I'm assuming they have a bigger plan for that one, hopefully.
I would hope so.
Because if not,
you
know.
So you could have sticker shock in 2 years.
You absolutely could.
Right. So in 2027, things could go really awry real quick. And on this one we're talking about, that's what made me come up here, because we've had tons of calls already. The Department of Revenue is working on emergency rules for this. There will be some type of application. We don't know yet. It's going to be like a veterans or some type of affidavit, and it will be through my office, but I've been telling everybody, wait till this fall, because we have nothing in place that they'll have to come into my office and sign something saying I'm, you know, right. I don't know if we'll check their driver's license, and they say I'm 65, I paid taxes 25, you know, it's going to be honor system, I'm assuming, because there's no way to verify
the 25 years.
Yeah, I'd have to hire 50 people to even do that.
I was going to ask what the logistics would look like, and that would be incredible.
So I understand that the Department of Audit might just randomly pick people around the state and audit them and make sure, you know, everybody's on the up and up. I don't know. And that's, you know, that one's down the road, but that's one I've had the most calls on.
Absolutely.
And I don't blame people, you know, hopefully once we get the rules and got everything in place, the forms, you know, we'll get the word out to everybody, come into my office and sign up, you know.
And on that, I got to take another quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Commission and our Sheridan County Assessor right after this. Stick around. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First First Federal Bank and Trust presents Dining for a Cause at PO News today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the final day.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
This is Kim Love. I have the good news many of you have been waiting for. Frackleton's will be reopening as soon as possible. The biggest thing slowing down our reopening will be our ability to staff the restaurant. So if you are interested in working for Frackleton's or know of anyone who would be interested, please stop by the Country Bounty offices at 303 South Main or email your resume to kimlove@sheridanmedia.com. Look forward to having Frackleton's back better than ever.
Pella windows are made for extremes. From blazing hot summers to freezing cold winters, with energy efficiency options to keep you comfortable and save you money year-round, and now enjoy extreme savings at Pella of Wyoming.
Get 20% off qualifying Pella projects or 0% APR for 36 months. Offer ends 5/31/2024. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Pella is ready for extremes. Make sure your home is too. Learn more at PellaSheridan.com.
Wrap Plumbing and Heating can handle any job you have, big or small. From new construction to a pesky leaking toilet, the professionals at Wrap Plumbing and Heating are here to assist you. Drippy faucet? Sure. New shower hardware? No problem. Plumbing an entire new house? For sure. Clogs that need snaked? Oh yeah. Wrap Plumbing and Heating has not met a job they can't handle. Too big a crap? Call Dan Wrap at 429-1196.
Hi, my name is Desiree Wills with Volunteers of America. Join us Thursday, April 18th at the Sheridan Community Fairgrounds for our Empty Bowl Community Event. This family-friendly event features gourmet soups donated by local restaurants, churches, and other organizations. There will be music, children's games, and even prizes. Tickets may be purchased in advance on the VOA Northern Rockies website or at the door. The Empty Bowl Community Event is 5 to 6:30 p.m., April 18th.
Sponsored in part by your friends at Sheridan Media.
Today is Thursday, and that means we have hot buys for you over on SheridanMedia.com. You can find items and certificates starting at half off of retail value from local vendors. This week, we have a Guild Jetstar electric guitar and a Fender bass combo amp from Craft Bros Music, plus $25, $50, and $100 gift cards to the Wagon Box. Don't forget your car with Buggy Bath Car Wash token notes. We have those items and more all starting at half off of retail value over on Hot Buys on Sheridan Media. Hurry, bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting and we are proudly brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. My guests this morning are the Sheridan County Commissioners, Lonnie Wright and Tom Ringley. And we have a special guest this morning, Sheridan County Assessor Paul Fall. A lot of laws have changed. There's things that you need to go down to your assessor's office and ask about. Now, Paul, we've talked about a lot of these bills. Let's talk about how folks need to make sure that they're on the list. If folks need help understanding these changes, because as I told you at the beginning of the show, I am not a tax guy, my friend. When it comes to taxes, I kind of put it in someone else's hand and wash my hands of it. What do folks need to know as far as, do I need to apply for this one or that one? What do they need?
Perfect, Floyd. Yeah, on the veterans we talked about, I didn't mention that if you want to use it on your real property this year, you have until the fourth Monday of May, which is a holiday, so you have until May 28th to come into my office and sign up. I know we've called pretty much everybody that we have already currently signed up in our office. If you didn't get a call from us, your phone, your voicemail's full or your chump number's changed. So if you haven't heard from us, you need to come in and sign up. We hate for anybody to miss out on that. Then we're talking about the veterans exemption goes to $6,000 next year. Well, it really starts for vehicles essentially May 29th, because that's what our 2025 year will start on vehicles. And then, of course, January 1 is our 2025 real property date of next year. So, yeah, so we encourage everybody to get down, sign up for that. And again, the long-term homeowners, that one, save your time. Don't come into the office. Don't call. We'll get the word out later this fall when we have the actual applications and know more about how that's going to work. I have no idea how, you know, what the process even looks like. The Department of Revenue is, like I said, is working on some emergency rules on that. And the House bill, the 4% cap, that is no application for that. That is automatically placed on the property this year. We've done that. I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions, you know, when people get their assessments, which are going to be mailed out next Monday. So look at your values. Look at, it'll show the exemptions right on there if you got it or not. So if you have questions, give us a call. It's going to be a lot of busy. It'll be a lot of questions this year, which is okay.
Absolutely. You know, with everything changing and want to make sure that everybody gets what they deserve and gets what they earn, that's going to be a very worn out door by the time tax season closes this year, Ms.
Exactly.
Paul.
The door and the phone.
Now, what haven't I asked, Paul? What is there that you would like folks to know about the entire process, about the bills, about the applications, about anything that I haven't asked you?
We've covered most of it pretty good. I just want maybe throw out there that we are still working on fair market value. So we still have to verify all the sales. It'll show your assessment schedule is not going to change. It's going to show last year's value, this year's fair market value, which it would be. And then below that's where it'll show the exemption. So it's going to show what your value really would be based on other sales in our neighborhood groups, like we always do. So that end of things will not change. It'll just show the exemption amount. You know, if you get 100,000 or 50,000 off, it'll say 50,000 exemption. I think it says residential exemption on it. And then, of course, your veterans, if you're getting a veterans exemption, it'll show on the assessment schedule as well this year. So everything should show on there. And that's where I think we'll have a lot of questions. You know, people just be going, well, wait a minute, that didn't calculate. So if you have other outbuildings or buildings on your property, it's just taking it off the house, not your detached garage and all that. So okay. The 4% cap is on the residence.
The residence structure only.
Right.
So if folks get this and they're looking down and they feel, wait a minute, I should have gotten this. Can they come down to your office?
Absolutely. Or call us, come in. I know we'll have a lot of the questions, you know, like I told you before, you bought it last year, you did an addition, transferred it to your kids or something. They probably aren't going to qualify.
Yeah, because they're new.
Exactly. So, and we haven't even got the rules. Department of Revenue has the emergency rules for this bill done, but the governor hasn't signed them. So we don't know exactly 100% of, you know, if I transfer to you, my son or somebody, are they allowed the exemption or not?
Oh, wow.
So those are kind of the questions we have as assessors, and hopefully that'll be covered, you know, yet to be determined.
Yeah. You know, as soon as we start getting these rules and all these blocks start falling into place, I want to have you back on so that we can go through these for folks. And just to make sure that people are getting what they deserve, and if they're not getting something, they can at least understand why. You know, a lot of times I feel like if I understood as to why I didn't get either a rebate or a, you know, reduction, then I could at least say, okay, I get why they didn't do it. I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
Exactly. Yeah, you bet. I'd be love to come back once we know exactly 100% what we can and can't do. And again, most people, you know, once you explain, especially the fair market value, how things work, again, nobody's thrilled that their property went up 20%+. But at least if you understand why and how we get there, you feel better. I think, you know, most people leave my office, they're at least got a better understanding of how we do things. And
yeah. And they're not keying your car.
Exactly.
They know it is. It's not your fault, Paul.
I'd like to put a plug in for Paul and his staff, because even before this all came up, just traditionally, when people go into the assessor's office to, you know, find out information, they get a good answer. They really do a good, and that's kind of reflected in the board of
Equalization.
Board of Equalization. You know, some counties have like hundreds of challenges a year, and we like have maybe one or two that even get to us. Because Paul just does a good job of explaining, this is why it's like it is, and you may not like it, but you understand why it is. So kudos to them.
Exactly.
And this is a big workload they've got on their plate right now. So we appreciate their work.
The logistics going on in your office right now, I can only imagine. You know, and that's a lot of ducks to keep in a row, Paul. How many people you got working with you?
Currently, I have 7. Normally, I have 8 on staff and then myself. And, yeah, everybody's really busy, and they all do a great job, and I appreciate them like no other. And, you know, and you guys hit it on the head. We are busy because we're, you know, do the 30-day protest period, which starts Monday, then June 1st. My abstract is due to the State Board of Equalization, which is all the abstract values are what the commissioners use, the schools use, everybody uses for their budget.
Yeah.
So we have to have that done. And, you know, hence why we got to have the protest period done so we could, you know, get exactly here's how much the county's going to make or here's what the average mill levy will be so the schools will know what they're going to get.
So that they can actually do their budgets and then hand it off down the line.
Exactly. So it's just a fast and furious from January through September, really, because we're, you know, I got to do the tax roll in September and,
My goodness. And you're going to start, I mean, have folks already started coming in saying, hey, Paul, what the heck does this mean? I mean, are they constant? Is there a constant influx, a line at the door in a sense?
No, I wouldn't say we haven't had a line, but we do have a lot more inquiries before I send out the value, notice of value, which is like we call assessment schedules, and those will be mailed out Monday. And that's where your 30-day protest period starts. You know, I send your value to you, Floyd, and you say, yeah, this looks way out of whack. I want to come in and, you know, and before you do a formal protest, we always, you know, come in, sit down, let's look it over. And, you know, a lot of times somebody might have fat fingered something, said you had 1,200 square feet and you only got 1,000. I don't know, you know. And we'll look at things that way and try to do the best we can. Like Commissioner said, you know, we don't want to go to a county board hearing because it's a lot of work. You know, you have to put a packet together of prove me wrong. I got to show that I'm right. And it's a lot of work. And, you know, sometimes we're not talking a lot of money either here,
right?
You know, a few dollars, tax dollars, $50, $100. So we try to explain the property owner prior to going to the hearing that, you know, here's, you know, we'll show you everything we got. We're not hiding anything.
Right. Yeah. And commissioners, is there anything you would like folks to know about this entire process, about maybe stepping up and applying this year for things that they haven't in the past? Any comments from you?
Well, it's tell people to be aware. Hopefully, you know, just call up and ask the question if you don't understand. I mean, you know, he's a go-to guy. And they'll, you know, they'll do a good job answering your questions. So just be alert. I mean, you know, it's all out there. Can't force feed it. But we want to make it available so people know what their options are. This program is one step in doing that.
Now, as you said before, Commissioner Ringley, you're going to be eligible for a couple of these things as well.
Well, I am.
Yeah. What about you, Commissioner Ray?
I am not going to be eligible for very many of these, but soon I will be. But I guess at the risk of having to add phone lines to Paul's office and maybe a couple extra people, I would just repeat what Mr. Commissioner Ringley said, is if you have questions, don't be afraid to call the assessor's office because they are ready, willing, and able to listen and answer questions and help you figure out what's going on with your bill, your tax bill. So
exactly. Commissioner Wright hit it on the head. I'd rather, you know, call us, come in instead of I hear the aftermath of all these coffee clubs that go on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're not a bad guy, Paul. I mean, hey, you're not the one behind all of this. I'm sorry that you end up kind of taking the heat on it.
Yeah. Well, I've got pretty thick skin the last 26 years.
I would imagine so. Gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for taking the time out of your day to come in here. And Paul, thank you to you and your staff who really do you know, work really hard to make sure that everyone's assessments are correct, to make sure that everything going out to that mailbox is correct so that people don't get that hard shock. And thanks for coming on the show this morning and helping us kind of understand this quagmire a little bit more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys letting me show up.
Oh, absolutely. You're welcome back here anytime, my friend. Anytime. Commissioners, it's always a pleasure, gentlemen. You didn't have to do too much today, huh?
No, well, pretty easy for you. Thank you.
What Paul had to say is a lot more important, probably.
That's right.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust presents Dining for a Cause at PO News today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's the final day.
Our goal is to support local restaurants and nonprofits. So today, you can help us support the incredible work of the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
First Federal will match the restaurant's proceeds up to $10,000.
Dining for a Cause going on today from 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. with proceeds benefiting the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center.
Dining for a Cause presented by
First Federal Bank and Trust.
Attention breakfast enthusiasts, McDonald's is introducing a new trio of bagel sandwiches. First, the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel, or sink your teeth into a sausage, egg, and cheese bagel packed with flavor. But wait, how about a hearty breakfast experience? Steak, egg, and cheese bagel. That'll satisfy your morning hunger. Delectable bagel creations are available exclusively during breakfast hours only at McDonald's, Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
Planning on building, remodeling, or landscaping this spring? Maybe all of the above. The Home and Garden Show at the Sheridan Ramada Plaza has fresh ideas for you April 19th through the 21st. Enter to win a $1,000 certificate to Landon's Greenhouse or purchase a raffle ticket from a Home Builders member for a $6,000 10-foot by 12-foot garden shed donated by A&B Buildings and Western Building Supply, with proceeds going to Sheridan College Construction Technology and apprenticeship students.
You've been procrastinating. Admit it, your car's been needing a tune-up, but you've just been so busy being awesome. How awesome will that summer road trip be when your car breaks down, leaving you stranded? Well, perhaps scheduling an appointment with Midas to get ready for summer driving is a good idea. Midas has savings on brakes, shocks, wheel alignments, transmission service, tune-up, and more. Keep your car running safe, smooth, and longer with a few more coins in your pocket with Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Brad at Primary Motors, where we are looking to buy your clean used vehicles, tractors, ATVs, and much more. We will also downtrade and do appraisals. Here at Primary Motors, we are a full service dealership offering quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs. Our Super Trailer store features a wide variety of stock, utility, and cargo trailers. Primary Motors has been making customers happy for decades. See us today at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan or online at primarymotors.com.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Who wants to play chicken poop bingo? Our 4-H Club set a goal to raise $10,000 to support Wyoming State Fair Endowment and improvements for the Sheridan County Fairgrounds.
How the game works. There are 100 squares for $100 each, and place 3 chickens on the bingo board. The first chicken to poop on their number wins $1,000, second wins $500, and third wins $250. If you are interested, please call Jessica Barnes at 307-